Welcome to Faith Out Loud Canada, sharing the Christ who cares together through practical Bible teachings. This is your host, Dan Purdy, connecting you with the pastoral staff and leadership team of the Aldergrove Adventist Church in Langley, British Columbia. Over the next 30 minutes, listen as inspirational speakers apply key Bible passages, parables, and stories to your modern life. Learn to enjoy God's never-ending love for you and to daily accept His greatest gifts. This brief time together will fill you with hope and confidence while teaching you to live your faith out loud. Today's presentation is the second installment from the series, It Takes So Little to Be Above Average, focused on Hebrews 11, 1-3, and verse 6. Join us now as lead pastor Dr. David Jamieson begins sharing the Christ who cares together through Faith Out Loud Canada.
It takes so little to be above average. Wouldn't you like to be above average? Wouldn't you like to really succeed in the things that you set out to do in life? Wouldn't you like to accomplish all those goals and dreams that have been in your mind and hearts for years? Wouldn't you like to be what God would want you to be? To reach your God-given potential, to be able to serve Him and impact lives all around you for the Lord Jesus? Well, if you would, I have to ask you another important question this morning. How's your faith? What kind of faith do you have? Is it strong or is it weak? Did you know that there are a lot of people today who have a faith that's like many television shows? There are some people who have a Father Knows Best kind of faith. Those of you who are older remember that show. But basically, they have a Father Knows Best kind of faith. Their faith has been passed down to them from their mom and dad. Maybe they don't really have an experience of their own with Jesus Christ. It's a second-hand faith. They come to church. They're there. But they haven't truly experienced Jesus in their own heart. And so their faith is boring. It's bland. And it's barely evident in their lives. There are some other folks who have a home improvement kind of faith. There are people that come to church and they come for the wife's sake. Or they come for their kids. They come for the family, but they too have not come for the right reason, to be impacted by the Lord Jesus Christ in their own hearts. There are some others who have a Happy Days kind of faith. You remember that show from the 50s, The Fonz? Wasn't he cool? I thought he was anyway. And I'm sure those, Mark is saying right on, The Fonz. People have a Happy Days kind of faith. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. Everything is going okay. And their faith is great. But the moment that something starts to go wrong is the moment that they begin to doubt God. They become discouraged. And you know what happens? Some of them even drop out of church for a while and you don't see them because things haven't happened the way that they had planned. There are some others who have a Rescue 911 kind of faith. You've seen that show? They're the kind of people that they only come to church when something goes terribly wrong in their lives. They show up when they need God desperately. Lord, I've traveled away for you for so long, but this terrible thing happened to me. I'm going to go to church. And then there are some others who have a Friends kind of faith. Now we're up into the youth generation. They go to church to socialize with their friends, to visit, to have fun. But they too need to have a faith relationship with Jesus that's personal for themselves. What kind of faith do you have this morning? You know, it is an extremely important question for me to ask you. What kind of faith do you have? Because faith is a vitally important ingredient in the Christian's life. Did you hear me? It is vitally important. We read in our scripture reading this morning in Hebrews 11, it said, without faith, it is what? Help me. It is impossible to please God. You know, in Luke 18 and verse 8, I believe it is, Jesus asked an all-important question of the disciples. He said, when I come again, will I find faith on the earth? And you know, there's a verse that we all know so well in Ephesians 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace are ye saved through what? Faith. Our very salvation is tied to this vital ingredient called faith. And so I had to ask you this morning, if faith is so important to the Christian that even our salvation is dependent upon it, don't you want to be above average in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't you want to have that kind of faith right now, today, that will get you all the way into the heavenly kingdom to stand on the sea of glass and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb and to be there with your family, your friends, your neighbors, anyone who chooses to be there and live throughout all eternity with Jesus? Don't you want to have that kind of faith this morning? Well, let's talk about it. It was great to see all those Bibles this morning. Fantastic. I'd invite you to take your Bibles. We're going to open them to Hebrews chapter 11, the most instructive passage in the entire Bible on the subject of faith. And there in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to find something of a definition of faith. A little bit of trivia. How many times do you think the word faith is mentioned in the Old Testament? 2,000? I heard the word two. It is mentioned, if you want to go check it out, only two times. Did you know that? The word faith is only mentioned twice in the entire Old Testament. And so if we want to talk about faith, there was a lot of faith in the Old Testament, a lot of great heroes of faith. In fact, we're going to read about them in Hebrews chapter 11, where it tells all their stories. And it is mentioned 25 times in this one chapter alone. So let's open our Bibles and let's talk about how to be above average in faith. It was to be on the screen, and now it's in your Bibles, reading Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Listen carefully. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. Did you get that? It is being sure of what we hope for and certain of the things we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And that's good. That's a good starting point, a good definition of faith. But it does pose a little bit of a problem for us this morning, because the ancients, as well as some moderns today, felt sure about a lot of things. Don't you feel sure about a lot of things? They felt certain about a lot of things that they hadn't seen even. For example, many misguided people really wholeheartedly believed that the world was flat until Galileo came around. Others believe that the moon was inhabited, or maybe even that it was made out of cheese until the Apollo mission and Colonel John Glenn came along. Others believe that throwing salt over their shoulder would bring them good luck and good fortune. Many others believe that if you walk under a ladder, have you ever walked around the ladder? I used to do that. They believe that if you walk under a ladder, or if a black cat crosses your path, there's going to be calamity. And there are some people who are totally terrified of the number 13. Many people believe a whole lot of things today. They feel certain about it, even things that they haven't even seen. That poses a problem. Because if that's all faith is, then faith is simply another word for being gullible. For being gullible, for blindly accepting and believing whatever it is that others will tell you, foolishly accepting something without questioning it at all, without requiring proof or evidence. But you know something? This is not the kind of faith that the Christian life is based on. We're there, hey? Good. Hebrews 11 and verse 3 and verse 6 specifies that there's more to Christianity than just blind optimism. In fact, these verses make us aware of the fundamental, vital ingredient of faith. Notice with me now Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Here's what it says. It says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he what? That he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. This little verse is talking about the fact that God made the universe at his command. It's also telling us that God exists, and that is a step of faith for someone to believe these things. A step of faith that is first and foremost based on a relationship with a caring Creator God. Just as Genesis says, and I like to say it this way, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, and in 6 days he created the world ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. And the Bible says it is an act of faith to believe these things. Why? Because we can't really understand how he did it, can we? Our minds, our brains aren't big enough to get around this thought of creation. But God says, there's lots of evidence around us. There's lots of proof. All we have to do is stop and take a look. To take a look at the sunset or the beauties of nature. To take a look at the mountains. To take a look at the plains, the rivers, and the lakes. To look at the oceans and the forest. To look at the animals, the fish, the birds, the fruit, the vegetables, to look at the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets, to look at our bodies and our minds, to look at the microcosms and the macrocosms and all the other intricacies of the cosmos. Creation itself should be proof and evidence enough, my friend. Faith is better placed in the firm conviction of the reality of God, a relationship, than it is placed in the recent theory of the explosion of some primeval soup. But faith in God is not just relegated to a single act of acceptance of God's creatorship. It's not some mental assent to something, some theological thing that we agree to, some God-logical teaching. Faith is more than that. Faith in God is a daily, practical, continuous, constant to the end, which is the hard part, relationship with the one who really cares. Faith is one of the most elementary doctrines of life. And now I have to tell you a story. One day, a professor stood up in front of his class. It's a true story, by the way. He came into the class, a science college class, and he said, "Class, today I'm going to prove to you by virtue of the elementary 5 senses that God does not exist." And he stood in front of the class, and he was totally serious, and he stood there and he said, "Have any of you ever seen God?" "No." "Have any of you ever heard God? Tasted God? Smelled God?" And he chuckled at that. "Have any of you ever touched God?" To which everyone in the class basically said, "No, we haven't." Well, he said, "I want to conclude this morning, I rest my case, that by the virtue of the elementary 5 senses, God does not exist. Is there anyone here who'd like to give a rebuttal?" There was a Christian in the back of the class. He stood up and he said, "Sir, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but I do not agree with your conclusion." And he said, "I would like to come to the front of the class and to just simply ask the class 1 question to demonstrate my point. Again, sir, I do not want to be disrespectful to you." But he turned and he looked at the class and he pointed at the professor and he said, "Has anyone here ever seen the professor's brain? Have you ever heard it? Have you ever smelled it or tasted or touched it?" And the class began to laugh because, no, they hadn't. And so the young man stood there and he said, "Well, I want to conclude by our own distinguished professor's logic that he doesn't have a brain in his head." as sure as you have a brain in your head. God exists, my friend. And He wants to have a strong faith relationship with you and with me. As sure as you have a brain in your head, God exists. And He wants to have a strong faith relationship with you and me. Secondly, faith is a daily response to the loving overtures of God. Faith is responding to the Creator with weekly worship. Do you know how important it is to get yourself up and to get out of the house and to come to church every single week? It is a faith response. There's someone to tell you, no, I'm not going to go today. I don't feel well. It's snowing. You've got to have faith to do what God asks you to do and to weekly worship Him with all of your heart. Faith is responding to the certainty of God's holy word. You know, we read things in the word of God. Sometimes we don't like it. We don't want to do it. But faith is responding wholeheartedly, implicitly trusting in God's holy word. Faith is responding to God's loving sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, who died a long time ago, that you and I might have eternal life. Faith is a confidence which we have toward God and all that pertains to Him. Faith is responding to all the specifics of life. I like this. Faith is responding to all the specifics of life with the larger purpose of which Jesus Christ is the center. If Jesus is at the center, everything else falls into place. No matter what area it is that you might be concerned about in your life. My friend, faith is both a noun and a verb. Faith is belief plus action. Faith is like a muscle. It develops, it grows. It all depends on how much you use it, how much you exercise it. Faith is developed through a predictable process. There's a pattern to it. And if we understand the pattern, we can be above average in our faith. Hebrews chapter 11 mentions a long list of the heroes of faith. It says that these people were people of faith. But how were they people of faith? Each one of them responded, daily responded by demonstrating their faith every day and continuously throughout all of their lives. They were obedient, some of them. They were sacrificial, even to death, some of them. They made commitments to whatever God asked them to do and places to go. And Scripture says, God saw their faith. Faith is a response on a daily basis. Faith is committing yourself to action. Time for another story. The Guinness Book of World Records tells this story in the 1990 edition. It tells the story of a man, Charles Blondin, who walked on a tightrope across Niagara Falls on June the 30th, 1859. The rope was 3 inches wide, 1,100 feet long, and 160 feet above the height of the falls. Maybe you know the story. He walked across like this. Made it all the way across. In fact, stories say he went across 7 times. People cheered. They were ecstatic. We would be ecstatic. I would be if I saw that, if I was there. When he got over the last time, he turned to the crowd and he said, do you believe that I can do it again? And they said, yeah, you can do it again. All right. Did yes. Well, he said, does anyone believe enough to get on my shoulders? And come across with me. There were no takers. He returned to Niagara Falls exactly 1 year later. He must have liked June 30. But June 30, 1860, he returned again. And he brought his press agent with him, a man by the name of Colcord. And he put the man on his shoulders. And together they walked across Niagara Falls. What kind of faith do you have? Is it an above average faith? Or is it the kind of faith that you say, oh yeah, I believe, and it's just lip service? Are you willing to put your full weight on Jesus Christ and to trust Him implicitly? Because Jesus will take us across the chasm to the other side, to the place that we all want to go to and enjoy forever. What kind of faith do you have? You see, faith is first of all a daily relationship with a God, a creator God, who really cares for you and me. Secondly, faith is a daily response to the loving overtures of this God. And thirdly, faith is daily relying on what God has said and promised in His holy word, the Bible. You see, when we commit ourselves to God, we rely on what He says. We rely on His promises, and we want our lives to move in the direction of His leading. We want to live by God's love and all of His guidelines. We decide that God is going to be the chief executive officer of our lives, which includes being the CEO of our time. And He calls us to weekly worship, which includes being the CEO of all of our finances. And He calls us to return a tenth. It includes being the CEO of our energy, our reputation, and anything else that pertains to our existence on this earth. Is God your CEO? Is God the CEO of your faith? Is your faith above average? Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 says something again. It says that we are not the authors and finishers of our faith, but that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. In other words, if He's the CEO of our lives and the CEO of our faith, we don't get to pick and choose. We'll take this page of the book of Genesis and believe that one, and we'll take this page of the book of Exodus and not believe that one. We don't get to pick and choose what it is that we want to believe in our lives. We need to be trusting implicitly in God, believing and obeying everything that He asks us. We move on to the fourth point in our message this morning. Faith is not only daily relying on God's word, but faith is daily refusing to panic or to give up or to compromise in the face of difficulty and delay. How do you handle difficulty and delay? I used to handle it terribly. I'm one of these persons who, and I've told this to my wife before and others, if the roof were to fall in on us this morning, I could probably manage and we could get our way out of here. But if my key breaks off in the door of my car, I shoot to the roof. How do you handle difficulty and delay? What kind of faith in God do you have when things don't go exactly to the way that you wanted them to go? Another little story I want to share with you to drive the point home. Brian Heiss of Provo, Utah, and it's a true story again, recently experienced more difficulty than any human being should ever have to experience in a single day. First, a water pipe broke in the apartment above him, and the water came down to the lower floor and flooded his entire apartment. So the manager told him to go out and rent a water vac. He did that. But as he walked out to his car to do so, he noticed it had a flat tire. He changed the tire and went inside to phone a friend to have him come over and help him with the cleanup. And while standing in the water and using the phone, he got such an electric shock that he jolted the phone and pulled the cord right out of the wall. Before he could leave his apartment the second time, he had to shout out to a neighbor across the hall to kick his door down, because by now the door had swelled up and the water damage had jammed it tight. He got outside, and when he did, he noticed that his car was now stolen. He walked all around looking for the car, and he found it a few blocks away. Why? Because he hadn't hardly any gas in it, and so whoever stole it ran out of gas a few blocks away, and he found his car. So he pushed it to a gas station, he filled it with gas, and he started on his way. That evening, after cleaning up in his apartment, he had a military meeting to attend at Brigham Young University. And he was on his way there, and everything seemed to be going fine, but somehow, as he was getting out of his car, someone had thrown his rifle in the back, and he stabbed himself with his own bayonet. Doctors were able to stitch him up. The wounds weren't too bad. They were able to take care of him. But when he got home that night, he couldn't resuscitate his four canaries because the plaster from the ceiling above had fallen on them and killed them. As he was making his way through the mess of plaster, he slipped on the wet carpet and fell on his wounds and hurt his tailbone. He was having a horrible day. But when he went to bed that night, he knelt down and prayed, "Oh Lord, it's been a mighty terrible day, but my faith in you has not wavered. My faith in you has not wavered." Faith is first and foremost a daily relationship with a caring Creator God. Faith is a daily response to the loving overtures of God. Faith is daily relying on what God says and promises in His holy word, the Bible. And faith, my friend, is fourthly to daily refuse to panic or to give up or to compromise in the face of difficulty and delay. I can't wait for that rewarding day when Jesus will come again. I want my faith to be above average now while I'm waiting so that He can use me and my family. He can use me in the church, at school. He can use you in all those places too and in your work to touch lives for Jesus Christ.
What an inspirational and timely presentation from lead pastor Dr. David Jameson. We certainly hope today's message demonstrated God's powerful love for you and encouraged you to seek a deeper relationship with Him. Perhaps you're struggling with something in your life with which you need help. It could be your finances, your job, a relationship, an addiction, or something else you're concerned about. Jesus knows your heart. Won't you just give it to Him right now? Don't miss the opportunity to call on Jesus to help you. The pastoral staff and leadership team of the Aldergrove Adventist Church can help you to have a dynamic, personal relationship with God and to show you how to be of service to others in your community. Check out our free online resources at www.aldergrovesda.org or call us direct at 604-856-5830. Our popular audio-video archive is only a click away. This is your host, Dan Purdy, thanking you for sharing the Christ Who Cares Together with us. Until next time, share your faith out loud, Canada.